If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust this will be a good day with you. I trust that you will put Christ and the Bible and the church and God first in your life. Could I ask you a question, a personal question, a heart-to-heart question? What do you have to do this day that is more important than your proper relationship to Jesus Christ? It appears to me the most important thing and the most wonderful thing that you can do this day is to go to church, read your Bible, pray, worship God, be a part of the great gospel program. If you are not attending church regularly, if you have not a church home, if you're looking for a place where the Bible is preached, we invite you to come and share with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We have but one textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, and that is the Bible. We teach the Bible. We believe that God's Word has the answer to the perplexing problems that confront us today, not only as individuals and as churches, but as a nation. We believe the Bible prescribes the right way, and the right way is found in an ultimate faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we invite you to come and bring the whole family. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. During this 1976-77 Sunday school year, our theme is building for Christ as we build for eternity. We're now in the process of building our new building at Campus Drive and Loop 820, adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. We covet your prayers in these matters as we build for Christ and build for eternity. Come and share with us today this great theme of building for Jesus Christ. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs, and we invite you to come and bring your family and worship with us today. We have two very special days during the month of December that we want to call your attention to. 1 week from today, on Sunday, December the 12th, we are having Children's Day. We'll be honoring all of our children in our Sunday school hour. And then on the 19th, December 19th, our Family Day, it's Christmas Sunday, the 19th, and we also have our annual Christmas mission offering. Maybe there's some of you listening today who would like to put your mission offering in a place where it will go to support missionaries around the world. Then we would invite you to share with us in our annual Christmas mission offering here at Worth Baptist Church on Sunday, December the 19th. We're helping to support some 80 missionary families around the world. If you'd like to have a very special part in that at Christmas time, why not plan to do so on Sunday, December the 19th? Perhaps you'd just like to mail it in. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That mailing address again, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. The zip code is 76119. We shall look forward to hearing from you by mail during these days. Again, in the meantime, we invite you to come and share with us today our Sunday school hour at 10, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship service at 7. Our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And don't forget to be in prayer for the construction of our new building at Loop 820 and Campus Drive. We covet your prayers in these matters and invite you to share with us during these days. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Christ Our Daysman. I shall read to you from the book of Job, chapter 9. Perhaps you'd like to get your Bible and turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Job, and I shall read beginning at verse 27. Before I read the scripture, I would like for you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Maybe there's a special burden in your heart today. Rest assured that this pastor and these people at Worth Baptist Church are praying for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of prayer. And Thou knowest the needs of many people in the listening audience today. Some are facing tragic moments in their lives. The loss of a loved one. Death has come this week and invaded their family and their home and taken out a loved one. I pray the Holy Spirit would comfort them. Some, Heavenly Father, listening today have serious illness in their homes and among the members of their family, and I pray the great physician would touch those bodies. Dear God, some are suffering from financial crises in their lives. I pray that Thou wouldst perform a financial miracle in their lives today. And dear God, some are lonely and heartbroken and sad and sorrowing, and some are deep in sin today. They need help and they don't know which way to turn. I pray right now in the motel or in the place of business or at home or in the hospital or the rest home, the nursing home, wherever that person might be, someone in their car or in their truck or driving across the city, wherever they are today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bless them and strengthen them and encourage them and save the lost and do whatever needs to be done in their hearts in this hour. And may Christ be real to them. Give them encouragement and uplift them in this moment is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Now that you've found the book of Job chapter 9, I read beginning at verse 27. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself, I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that Thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt Thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Christ, our daysman. The story of Job has been told around the world and in a multiplicity of languages. Job lived in the patriarchal period, which places him in the time of Abraham, or perhaps even earlier. Job is the first book in the Bible to be written, and is perhaps the oldest book in all the world. Job lived in the land of Uz. He was a very wealthy man. Some people think that God's people are supposed to be poor. I don't know where they got that idea. Perhaps they think that being poor is equivalent to being spiritual, but not all poor people are spiritual. God wants His people to have the best of everything. Job was a wealthy, prosperous man. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and 500 mules. Job was, according to chapter 1 and verse 1, a perfect man. Now that does not mean that he was sinlessly perfect, but that he was mature in his faith. Not only that, but according to chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, Job was a prosperous man. And in chapter 1, verse 5, we read that Job was a praying man. So he was perfect, that is, mature. He was prosperous, that is, wealthy. He was praying, a praying man, that is, he was a man who communed with God. In his creed, Job was orthodox. His conduct was faultless, and his character was spotless. Job was a father, a farmer, a merchant, and a shepherd. Now, Job suffered many, many things as no other man suffered them. We can look at a list of Job's calamities and wonder how on earth he ever endured it all. The loss of his oxen, the loss of his sheep, the loss of his camels, and more than that, the loss of his sons and daughters. Then the moment came when his wife suggested that he curse God and die. Yet the Bible said that Job said not one word foolishly against God. What a man of faith. In spite of all of his sufferings, in spite of all of his losses, in spite of all of his calamities, Job issued a great statement of faith. And that statement of faith was this. In chapter 1, at verse 21, Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord." And then in chapter 13, at verse 15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Then perhaps the greatest declaration of faith concerning the resurrection that we have in the Bible is found in chapter 19 at verses 25 and 26. Job, in the midst of his anguish and sorrow and suffering and calamities, said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day his feet shall stand upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a statement of faith. It was while Job was in the midst of all of his sufferings that his heart cried out for a daysman. Listen to what he said as he gave the desire of his heart. In verse 33, Job said, "Neither is there any daysman between us, that he might lay his hand upon us both." What is a daysman? A daysman is considered an umpire, one who would take the hands of two people who had had a difference and bring them together. Job was in despair because he knew no such one. But before the story ended, Job is vindicated by God. God blessed him with double of all that he lost. God is glorified, the devil is defeated, and man is blessed before this wonderful story comes to an end. Why would Job need a daysman? Why do you and I need someone to go between us and God today? Here's the answer: because man is a sinner. In Romans 3:23, it is written, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Not only that, but man's sin has separated him from God. It is written in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And then, not only that, but man's destiny apart from God is eternal damnation. It is written in the Revelation chapter 20 at verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Yes, my friend, as much as Job in the days of old needed a daysman, you and I need a daysman in this hour. And I am happy to report to you that we have a daysman. His name is Jesus, and the Bible says that he was so named in order that he might save his people from their sins. Let us consider the mission of our daysman, Jesus Christ, upon the earth. In the first place, as our daysman, Christ became the Son of Man, that we might become the sons of God. In John chapter 1, at verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but became the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he did two things. Number one, he revealed God. In John 1:18, it is written, "No man hath seen God at any time. Only the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him," or "he hath revealed him." Secondly, he came to redeem man. In Galatians 3:13, we read, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So our Lord Jesus Christ revealed God and redeems mankind. The Word tells us about our sonship. In John 1:11 and 12 we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In Romans 8:14 we read, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And in 1 John chapter 3 at verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Yes, my friend, Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God, the second person of the thrice holy God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man that you and I might become sons of God. In the second place, as our daysman, Jesus Christ became poor that we might become rich. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." Yes, Jesus Christ became poor. He was born in a borrowed stable. He was placed in a borrowed manger. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed mule. He had no place to lay his head. Listen to his own testimony. "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Our Lord Jesus Christ had no earthly possessions that we have any record of, only the seamless garment in which he died, and the Roman soldiers cast lots for that. My friend, let me say to you that Jesus Christ left everything, gave up heaven, the ivory palaces of the city of God, to become poor, that you, through his poverty, you a lost sinner, you hell bound for eternity without hope, might be made rich in him. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. We read in Romans chapter 8 at verse 16, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ." That simply means, my friend, that everything that Jesus Christ has, he will one day share with us. We are as rich as Christ is now rich, and the Bible tells us that he owns heaven and earth, and that we are joint heirs with him, possessing all things. Yes, our daysman, Jesus Christ, who was rich, became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, in the third place, as our daysman, Jesus Christ, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became sin, that we might become righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul writes, "He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In 1 Peter 2:24 it is written, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." You see, salvation, my friend, is not in a creed. It is not in a church or a denomination. Salvation is in a person, and only in a person, and only in one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. His name means Savior. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John 3:18, it is written, "He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John 3:36, it is written, "He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 5:24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And in Acts 4:12 we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. He is exclusively sufficient. He is instantaneously accessible. He is personally satisfying, and he is perennially compassionate. It has been said that Longfellow could take a blank piece of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $10,000, and they called that genius. Rockefeller can take a blank piece of paper, sign his name to it, make it worth millions, and they call that capital. The artist can take a 50-cent canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1 million, and they call that art. But my friend, our great God, the God of the universe, the God of all mercy and comfort, can take a hell-bound, hell-deserving, lost, wretched sinner and bathe him in the blood of Christ and make him a child of heaven, and we call that salvation. Oh, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're not saved, I would say to you in this hour, trust, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I have this footnote and I shall be through. As our daysman, Jesus Christ stands at the door of your heart, waiting to come in. I trust even now that you'll open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come into your life. As we leave the broadcast, we remind you once again that it would be our joy to have you visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship hour at 7. Bring the whole family and visit with us on this first Sunday of December, 1976. In the meantime, we shall look forward to hearing from you by mail this week. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So until next Lord's Day at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.